Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Petersfield's Shine Radio. Now, as you know, Petersfield is always open-hearted, and recently many families have opened their hearts and indeed their homes to members of the Ukrainian population, Ukrainian refugees coming in over the last couple of years because of the conflict there. But there's one locally based charity that has been working with people from that part of the world for much longer than that, and we're going to find out about it now. With me in the old drum on Chapel Street, I've got Simon. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
And yeah, likewise. And Dennis.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
And Dennis, you run this charity. Tell me about its origins.
Yes, certainly. The charity was started in 1991, and the name is Chernobyl Children's Lifeline. Obviously, it speaks for itself. That was started as a response to the Chernobyl disaster. And just before COVID, from 1991 until the COVID times, we managed to bring over 65,000 children to stay from the Chernobyl-affected territories of Belarus and Ukraine. And we've been operating in Ukraine from 2007. So we're not the new charity just sprung up when the war started, but we are the charity that's been present on the ground with a rich connection of a network of people that we know in the affected communities.
And for people listening to this who perhaps are under 45, explain what was the Chernobyl incident? What was the disaster there and how did it affect people?
That's a brilliant question, because to many youngsters, when we used to speak to them and say, do you remember about Chernobyl? They said, yes, it's a computer game or must be a rock group. Well, in fact, in 1986, a nuclear reactor exploded on the territory of Ukraine, very close to the border of Belarus, in a place called Chernobyl. Well, it was called Pripyat, in fact, the town. And that sent a plume of radioactive fallout containing multiple radioactive isotopes around the globe, in fact, that circled the globe 2.5 times. But obviously, the vast contaminated areas mainly occurred in southern parts of Belarus and northern parts of Ukraine. And these are the areas where we used to operate. We now concentrate on operation only in Ukraine.
And what help did people need in the aftermath of that disaster?
Pretty much the vast territories needed physical evacuation, uplifting whole communities, villages, farms, the lot, businesses, and moving them to a safer location, cleaning up operation, evacuation, looking after, doing something with the livestock, with the economy on the so-called exclusion zones. Further on, it appeared that the exclusion or the highly contaminated zones were much further than initially anticipated. And in fact, we're still now speaking about the long-lasting effects, which are prognosed to be there for at least 300 years, because this is how long the radioactive isotopes live.
And you've got volunteers on the ground in that local area, in that zone, haven't you? What are they doing right now?
Correct. These could be local teachers, nurses, child welfare officers, social workers, local firemen, rescue people and so on. They, whilst they're doing their main duties of their jobs and so on, are still part of the other system which we are trying to support. In other words, we are trying to help them help the people who they are looking after.
Now, Shine Radio listeners are pretty smart people. They will have noticed that you don't have a broad Hampshire accent. How is it that your charity ended up in the Petersfield area?
Well, we were actually based in Haslemere for up to 2015. And later on, we decided that it was time to move the office. And we were looking for an office for a new position. And then this nice tiny unit on Lavender Farm came up. So we knocked the door and said whether it was possible for us to move in. And Simon walked our way, yes. And ever since, that's what he keeps doing. So I think he's going to give you better details.
Well, Simon, you are the landlord there. You are providing accommodation for this local charity in Selborne on the Lavender Farms. What is it about the charity that strikes you most?
I think it's the fact that they do so much with so little. And as Dennis was saying, there's so many worthy causes out there. There's so many people. It's great what everybody's doing over here for Ukraine. But these guys are there for the long term. They're not just there to match an appeal and the aid moves on elsewhere. They've been there since the disaster. They've brought children over here. We were involved before the Ukraine conflict, seeing what they were doing. I think probably the fact that also, whether they were a little bit of an underdog, they don't get any public funding. It's all private donations. And, you know, Dennis is there from morning till midnight doing things, jumping on a minibus, delivering aid himself, fundraising. Pretty much everybody else is volunteers, and it's very inspirational to see what they're doing. A lot of the children over there have had cancer issues, still do, all these different things, and we did little fundraisers and things, and we did something for the 35th anniversary. We had in the early stages of the war, we had my son's local football team in Alton Manor Colts, we banded together and managed to buy a minibus, which is working now, to take aid from Poland to Ukraine and back, and refugees at times. And we just feel that we've got to, often these things can get forgotten, because we all have short attention spans, and news move on to something else. There's always something else awful happening around the world. So, you know, we just felt that we need to keep going with pushing that message and the good words out there. And we wanted to, our School in a Bag project is trying to get the schools and the school children of East Hampshire to help the school children in Ukraine.
Yes, Simon, it's clear that you're no passive landlord. You're getting stuck in with the campaigning yourself. Explain what it is you need right now.
What we're looking for is, Dennis had a link with School in a Bag, which is another charity. And I said, well, why can't the school children in Hampshire help the children over there with school continuity of schooling? Because they've missed out with so much schooling, haven't they, Dennis?
Years. Correct, yes. So with 2 years due to COVID being out of school, and now 2 years through the war conflict being out of proper education. So we are making an effort to keep whatever ways to sustain and help them to sustain the educational process, be it in the bomb shelters under the ground where they've got to sometimes rush up to four times a day with the missiles being up in the air, be it somewhere in the schools that's been looted. We are trying to give them this school bag that is perfectly packed with water bottle and schools and stationery and lunchbox and little towel and toothpaste and so on. It's not just a school bag. It's their takeaway and runaway bag. So they've got their water, they've got their little snack when they're sitting cold, wet, unheated. They're not bomb shelters, most of them. They're called bomb shelters, but they're just basements and so on. So we give them a little torch. So we're trying to create a little world within this rucksack, within this school bag.
To give hope and normality to them in very difficult times, that they can have something, some structure and something to look forward to and keep them going. And I think, Dennis, you said to me the other day that this feeds back to the soldiers on the front line, that they can see that people care, and people over here care, that keeps them going. That's inspirational to them why do they, you know, for a reason to carry on.
Correct. We're talking about the whole family. In essence, it's the whole family, because when the war just started, with the messages that we were getting from the mothers sitting in potato cellars trying to shield away, to say, look, the world, the ground around us shaking. We don't know what's going to happen next minute, let alone next day. I arbored my plot of land. I picked up mushrooms and berries. And now I'm sitting with my three children, the elderly mother who's got a heart problem and so on, in this wet cellar. And the only thing that actually keeps my mind going, I've got these messages still retained, is the knowledge that many miles, many kilometers for them away, there is somebody, or there are some people who actually care about us. But funding is essential, and that's where the key point about the project comes in, that Simon is really pushing in, trying to welcome the schools of Hampshire.
So we started the fundraising ourselves with the Lavender Fields and storage business. We owned Barnstore. We donated £1,000, and we've had four schools so far who have joined the campaign, and we're looking for more. We understand schools have their favoured charities for the Charity of the Year, but even a one-off fundraiser is really appreciated, and to share it. Great if anybody else, school parents, grandparents, anybody else wants to donate. But that's what we're primarily aiming in this campaign, is for the children to help other children. And if your school would like to be part of this, we'd be really appreciated. Some of the school children are sending letters over and messages, and we're hoping to get messages back. And again, that gives a lot of hope and inspiration, again, that people care. And the money is important, but it's also the connection and the caring. And we're just hoping to show East Hampshire's caring side, really, to show off East Hampshire.
Well, we'll do what we can. And if you are at TPS or Beedales or Ditcham Park or Church's College, then we'll make sure that your teachers have got access to this interview. And do talk about it with other school children if you're at one of our local schools. And if you want to drive or if you want to make a donation to the charity, we'll put all the details at shineradio.uk.
If I could just mention before we go, if you want to look up the campaign, look on Just Giving, School in a Bag, Ukraine, and you should find our campaign there.
Great. We'll put that link at shineradio.uk as well. Dennis, Simon, thank you both for telling us about the charity and the great work that you're doing together.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you to the listeners. And just before I say goodbye, I'd like to give you a small vision. The idea is, in today's world, we aim often for material things, which are also an essential part of our lives. But what we're trying to show and promote, the human bridges, the people-to-people diplomacy. Politics comes and goes. Economy has got the ups and downs. But there are values that are not subject to any of these inflationary matters. These are true values of care, unconditional love, and unconditional help. These are never forgotten, and these remain in people's hearts. They cannot be uprooted. So thank you to everyone who cares.
Dennis, thank you, and thank you for sharing that profound thought with Shine Radio listeners.
Made by volunteers in Petersfield, this is Shine Radio.
Oh, it's like being in a little family. I love the community spirit. I like coming out to events like this. This is my first event with Shine. I'm honing in on my editing skills right now. I've been allowed free rein of the controls this weekend. And yeah, just learning loads of new skills, being able to broadcast, interview. It's really good.
Petersfield's Shine Radio. You make it shine. Call Petersfield 555 500 or email team@shineradio.uk.